You know that Jesus began his ministry by being baptized. After that, he was led by the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days, 40 nights. And then he begins his ministry, and this is the way that he begins. After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee announcing God's good news, saying, "Now is the time. Here comes God's kingdom. Change your hearts and lives and trust in this good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and Andrew, throwing fishing nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. He said, "Come and follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people." Right away, they left their nets and followed him. After going a little further, he saw James and John, Zebedee's sons. They were in their boat repairing their fishing nets. At that very moment, he called them, and they followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired workers. These are the words that Jesus begins his ministry with. Now is the time. Here is the kingdom of God. Did you catch that? When is the time? Now is the time. Why do we need to take hold of this moment? Because the kingdom of God is right here, right in our grasp. I'll confess to you that I often have a hard time seeing the kingdom of heaven being that close. Sometimes it's because I worry that my best days are behind me. Do you ever worry about that? That your best days are already in the past? For example, last week we had a really good Sunday. Pastor Rick preached about life as a celebration, the celebration of life. And we had, since it was kind of a birthday party, it was his birthday, we had cupcakes for everybody. Thank you, Jamie, by the way, for making all those cupcakes. Are you sick of cupcakes yet? And we had people come forward, kind of communion style, and get a cupcake and then a candle, and then we lit the candle. And Pastor Rick challenged us to see all life as sacred, and Pastor Derek challenged us to dedicate ourselves to being able to show someone else how their life is sacred. And then we held the candles for a minute, and he said, "Blow out the candle, that wish that you'll be able to find a way to show somebody else that their life is sacred might come true." And I'm told what we did is we lingered for a moment because we didn't want that moment to pass. That was a good time, wasn't it? But now it's in the past. Is that as good as it gets? Do we have something else in store today that might make worship that exciting?
There might
powerful?
Be something planned for worship today that is so absurdly awesome.
That you're going to be glad you're here and you won't want to have missed it?
You should be careful. Minds will be blown.
Was that the time? Or is it now? Jesus says, when is the time? Now is the time. Other times I find it hard to feel like the kingdom of heaven is that close because I look forward to the future. When I was a kid in elementary school, I looked forward to being in high school because it seemed like high school kids were all really cool. They got to do cool things like drive and date. They got to play sports and they got to play in the band, and so I couldn't wait to be in high school. And then I got into high school and I couldn't wait to graduate. Because you get out of high school and you get to take classes you choose instead of classes that you have to take. I imagine that you wouldn't have to take as many tests. I wouldn't have to follow my parents' rules anymore. I'd get to make decisions for myself. And then I went to college and I looked forward to getting a job. By the end of my college, I had a pretty good idea that I wanted to be a pastor, and I had some ideas about what pastors do, and so I couldn't wait to actually get to being a pastor and working in a church. I started working in the church, and I was working in little churches, and I couldn't wait to get to be a pastor of a bigger church where people were a little bit more dedicated, a little bit more knowledgeable about God, a little more creative about finding ways to serve. Found that I was kind of alone those days, and so I imagined being able to meet my soulmate and being able to live happily ever after. You probably know that Dawn recently hasn't been feeling so well. She fell walking out to her car for lunch one day and broke a bunch of ribs and tore a rotator cuff and was in to her family doctor, this was about a week ago, getting a breathing treatment, and her body said this is just way too much and shut down. Blood pressure bottomed out, and her family doctor rushed her to the emergency room thinking she was having a heart attack. This week, we've been sitting around thinking, won't it be nice when she gets healthy again?
Yes, amen.
Amen? Sometimes we even look further ahead, and we think about how nice it'll be to retire, to be able to not have to get up in the morning, sleep as late as we want to, decide what we're going to do each day, or maybe decide to do nothing during the day. all day long? Maybe that'll be my time. I know some people that have been retired for a while. A couple people I know have made it to be like 100. And you know what the most common thing I hear people who are in that 100 age group say is? I can't wait to go home and be with the Lord. Do you see the problem here? Always looking for our time being sometime off in the future, just out of our reach. What does Jesus say to that? When is the time? Now is the time. In the gospel according to Mark, there is this sense of urgency to just about everything that Jesus says and does. It's like there's no time to waste. For example, when Jesus finds Peter and Andrew, he says, come and follow me. And do they say, wait a minute, I'd like to spend some time thinking about this? No? Do you remember the words that were used? Right away, they dropped their nets and followed him. Jesus goes a little bit further and he runs into James and John, who are fishing with their father Zebedee. And when do they decide to follow? At that very moment. This is one of the reasons that we think the gospel according to Mark was the first of the gospels that was written, because there's this sense of urgency in it. There are words that are used like immediately and right away and at that very moment. And by the time you get to Matthew and Luke and John, those words aren't used so much. It's kind of like they got a chance to think about it a little bit. So what are some things that ought to happen right away? What are some things that ought to happen right now? Sometimes that is saying yes to God. You may be at a point where you've been thinking about saying yes to God. You may have spent some time looking at what the Bible says about Jesus, and you've come to understand some of the things that Jesus taught about things like humility and sacrifice and lining your will up with God's will, but you haven't quite decided to say yes. If that's where you are this morning, then maybe this is the moment that Jesus is reaching out to you and saying, when is the time? Now is the time. Maybe this is your moment to say yes to Jesus. Maybe there's a group that you've been thinking about being a part of. Maybe it's a Sunday school class, or maybe it's a growth group, or maybe it's a Bible study that meets some other time during the week. Maybe it's not even associated with church at all. Maybe there's a group of people that's getting together whose judgment you trust. And you've been asked if you'd like to join them, but you've been putting it off because you just haven't found the right time. Maybe this is your time to hear Jesus saying, when is the time? Now is the time. Or maybe you've got an idea for serving, some idea of something that you can do in the service of the Lord, but you just haven't gotten around to doing it. On Thursday evening, we had a Showers for Blessings gathering. It's a time where we gather together with folks who are expecting, to let them know that we're excited about their expecting the birth also. It's an idea that Virginia Pinkerton had. We started doing it about 3 years ago, but Virginia Pinkerton had this idea long before that. Do you know why it didn't happen? She just never got around to it. She decided one day that she'd been putting it off long enough, and now is the time to start that. If you're at that point where you've got an idea of a way to serve, maybe today is the day where you can hear Jesus saying, when is the time? Now is the time. If that's where you are, then the next step is to ask how. How do I make this my time? How do we make this our time? The next thing that Jesus says is change your hearts and lives and trust in his good news. Change and trust. Those are two really big words, aren't they? Change. You know that we're always changing, aren't we? Even if you're trying really hard not to change, the world around us is always changing, and so we're always different in the world, even if we're trying not to be. There was a guy 500 years before the time of Jesus named Herodotus who once said, you can't step in the same river twice. Don't you like that? Why? Because you step out, and immediately the river is different, isn't it? The river's always changing. If we're always changing, we might as well be intentional about how we're changing so that we can be changing for the better. So, what is the changing that Jesus is talking about? Well, apparently in his day, there were also people who tended to look backwards. They tended to look to the time of Moses with longing, because Moses was right in an intimate relationship with God. Moses, if you remember, used to speak to God face to face like a friend talks to a friend. Does it get any better than that? There were also some people who believed that there were two different sides of the kingdom. There was the already part of the kingdom, but that there was a not yet part of the kingdom. And they were longing for the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. They longed for a day when there would be no more sickness, and there would be no more hunger, and there would be no more war. And they believed that a Messiah would come who would usher in that age. Wouldn't it be nice if that were true? They longed for those kinds of days. Jesus said it's time for a change, and it seems to me the change that he's talking about is to focus more on the kingdom of heaven as it's right here, right now. What if we focused more on the kingdom that's already here? In the Old Testament, you know that there's a story about a lady named Esther. It's conveniently located in a book by the name of Esther. Imagine that. Do you know her story? She was a queen. Actually, she wasn't the first queen that this king had, though. The king was throwing a party. He wanted to show off his queen, and she didn't like being shown off very much. And so she said, I'm not going to your party. So the king went out and found another queen. He held a beauty pageant to find the prettiest girl in the land. And you know who won the contest? Esther. So she became queen. She grew up as an orphan who was raised by her cousin, a guy by the name of Mordecai, and now she was the queen. One day she overheard a plot to overthrow the king, and she exposed the plot, and so the king owed her a favor. There was this other guy, a guy by the name of Haman the Agagite, who was really full of himself, so much so that whenever he passed by someplace, he wanted people to bow down to him. But Mordecai worshipped the Lord our God and would only bow to God. And so Mordecai refused to bow to Haman when he went by. And that got Mordecai in a lot of trouble. And it got all the people of God in a lot of trouble. The king was going to get rid of the people of God. Esther at first didn't want to get involved because she was kind of enjoying being queen. But eventually came to decide that maybe she was in the position she was in at that very moment. I love this phrase. Do you know this phrase? For such a time as this. There's a legend about something that happened in the Continental Congress just before 1776, that the Congress was all meeting, trying to decide what to do about this problem that was brewing over with England. And there was a solar eclipse in the middle of their session. Now, they didn't know a whole lot about what was going on. Some people thought it was the end of the world. And so they started crying, we got to go out and do those things we wanted to do before the end of the world because the world's coming to an end. What do you do? Supposedly Benjamin Franklin is the one who stood up and said, I don't know if this is the end of the world or not, but if it is, I want to be found doing what I was meant to do. And so they called themselves back into session. You know what he was doing at that very moment? Drafting the Declaration of Independence. When did Jesus say is the time? Now is the time. Now is the time. Where did he say we'll find the kingdom of heaven? Right here. Right within our grasp. This is our time. We've been put right here, right now, for a reason. And that reason may very well be to realize that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Which brings me to the last word that I wanted to touch briefly on. Change and trust. After Jesus says, now is the time, here comes the kingdom, the next thing that he does is he goes and looks for disciples. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he first saw Simon and Andrew, and then he saw Peter and James. They dropped their nets, and they followed him. That is what trust looks like. I don't know about you, but when I think about people following God's calling, though, more often I think of the story of Jonah. You know the story of Jonah? In Jonah's day, there were two cities. There was the city of Tarshish and there was the city of Nineveh that were in opposite directions. Tarshish was a nice place, good community. People behaved themselves. People looked like Jonah, talked like Jonah, believed like Jonah. And in the other direction, there was Nineveh. Nineveh wasn't such a nice place. People there were different. People there didn't behave themselves. And can you guess which direction God was calling Jonah to go in? To the nice place? Nice neighborhood? Faithful people? No. God was calling him to go in the direction of Nineveh. Isn't that just like God? To challenge us to go the places that we don't want to go? Do you remember where Jonah went at first? He went to the nice place. He went to Tarshish. That's why we have this whole story about the big fish, because God doesn't give up, and so God kept trying to turn him around and get him to go to Nineveh. He got to Nineveh, and he preached what may just be the worst sermon ever. One sentence. You get the sense that his heart really wasn't in it. He didn't elaborate on his own story. He didn't build their trust. He didn't share any good things that he found in the city. His message was just simple. He didn't even offer them any hope. He said, 40 days. It's all going to be over. And what happened? People changed. They decided, if this is the end, then we want to be found faithful. And they changed. Even the cattle changed. Even God changed. God changed his mind. Decided not to destroy the place. The people of Nineveh were actually a better example of people who are willing to put their trust in the Lord than Jonah was. They were more like the example of the disciples, who right away they left their nets and they followed him. Did you see down in Cincinnati where this area made the news this week? See what happened Monday night? There was a bridge over I-75 going south, the Hopple Street, where it just kind of fell. Do you know why that happened? It was because of a terrorist attack, right? ISIS decided they were going to hit the Midwest and they were going to target innocent people on the highway. No, that's not the story. It was because there was a tanker truck full of gasoline that went into one of the uprights and exploded, and there was this huge, horrible fire, right? That's how it happened. It was because somebody had taken shortcuts when it was being built, and it was built with inferior quality material, right? No, that's not the story either. They actually knew that there was a problem with that bridge for a long time. In fact, they were taking it down, and apparently it had deteriorated further than anybody had known, and it just kind of fell. It reminded me of the story of, was it 2007? There was a bridge up in Minneapolis on I-35 that collapsed too. You remember what they blamed that on? Derek, I know you know this. Sarah? Bird poop. They said that birds, pigeons nesting in it, had deteriorated the metal and the cement to the point where it just kind of fell apart. So what's my point? Sometimes that can happen with our trust, too. We start out strong. We start out believing in God. We start out believing that God can do all things. But then over time, our trust comes to be worn away. We hear about people doing things in the name of the Lord, but the truth is they're more interested in themselves, and our trust gets worn away. We trust in another person, but something happens, and we have a falling out with them, and we realize that they're not perfect, and our trust gets worn away. We start doing something that we believe to be a good cause, but then we find out that it's not going to solve every problem in the world, and our trust gets worn away. And so we need to build a new bridge so that we can get over it and renew our trust in the Lord.